For the rest of human existence, there will never be more children alive than there are today. It's worth me repeating that. There will never be more children alive than there are today. That's because globally fertility rates are declining. And in some Australian states, it's gotten to the point that we are not having enough kids to keep the population stable. In fact, if it wasn't for migration, the population of New South Wales and Tasmania would have shrunk over the past year. Migration, though, is, as you know, and as I know when I read the text line every single day, is a hotly contested topic. And the fact that last year Australia saw its largest percentage increase in migrants since the Menzies era of the 1950s is the cause of alarm for some. I want to know what you think about this. Does the prospect of Australia's population falling due to declining birth rates worry you? Is that somehow more sustainable? I'm seeing a bit of that on the text line already. Or are you more concerned about the rise in migration, which many say is necessary to keep our workforce growing? What about the ageing nature of Australia's population? Is that the real population problem to solve here? Or maybe you think we should just accept a declining population and the economic consequences that result. I want to know if you think Australia is on the right track when it comes to population, or is a change of tack needed? 0418 226 576 is the text line. This text from Glenn in Ryde in New South Wales. Australia's population can rise, for example, if it was powered by renewables, but this should be in the context of the global population not rising because resources globally cannot support that. Kate messages me. She says, always aiming for growth is not sustainable. We will be forever chasing our tail, stabilise what we have and live sustainably. The world's population needs to decline to save the planet. What do you think? Join the conversation on the text line. Shane Wright is a senior economics correspondent with the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. Shane, you've been poring over these population figures in your very good, excellent article from the paper today. You make the point that rates of birth and death often gets forgotten. What is that picture showing us at the moment?
Well, natural population growth, which is births minus deaths, has fallen by 20% in 4 years. Now, that is an extraordinary change in a key element. Well, it is one of the two parts that you have total population growth for the country. And everyone is fixated on migration, and I have no troubles with people being fixated on migration because there are many issues around it, from social cohesion to the fact that people keep talking about we're running out of homes, but most of that population growth has been driven by international students who are flooding back into, say, Kensington in Sydney and Carlton in Melbourne, and they're going back into share houses and accommodation that is ready built already there for them. So that's one part of it. But the data that we've seen over the last week out of the Bureau of Stats showing a 3% fall in births, even though the population has increased by more than a million, and that you've seen an 11% lift in deaths over a very short period of time. And we've not even during war have so many people, Australians, died as did die in the last 12 months. That the intersection of those two things is just not a discussion point, and I think it should be.
Is that a spike in deaths related to the pandemic?
Some of it is. Absolutely. And as you would remember, we go back to 2020, people were completely worried about, and understandably, about the sort of death toll that might come from COVID. And we saw that overseas, what happens when it got out into the general public. But COVID is killing people, and that is absolutely clear. We can see that people who may have been put off getting medical attention because of the pandemic, it might be catching up to them. But we've also, as the population is aging, the closer you get to those end years, yeah, you're going to end up in dying. So I'm just looking at some statistics now about how the number of people over 80 in the population grew on average about 25,000 from the start of this century till 2020. It is now at about 35, 37,000 and is on track to reach about 70,000 by the end of the century. The end of this decade. Mm. So we're seeing a rapid aging, and that has all sorts of issues. Aged care is obviously the most important, what it means to economic growth, what it means to the tax system, and what it means to the total population.
I think you're right. There is this preoccupation in the public discourse about migration. I don't know if it's linked to culture wars or it sells newspapers, no offence. But there is this preoccupation about it because it is so intensely politicised. When, as your article points out, there are other very pressing issues here, the declining fertility rate, perhaps that's an increase in women's participation in the workforce or women having greater control of their fertility, for instance. These are undoubtedly good things, but it is contributing to decline. I imagine the cost of living wouldn't be helping and encouraging people to have babies.
Well, you can see that like the two most expensive capital cities in terms of house median house prices, Sydney and Canberra, have had the biggest falls in fertility rates. And I don't think that is I think that they're definitely connected. It may be causal, in fact. And this is, it's not just an Australian issue, like we're seeing these fertility rates falling. And the Lancet published this last week, some amazing research into this space, which goes to the social issues of the fact that more than half of the world's nations have a fertility rate under 2.1 now, which is the replacement rate. By the end of this century, they think only six will have, and half of those will be sub-Saharan Africa. And the economic basket case that is sub-Saharan Africa and Africa in general means there are huge economic and social issues that all nations will actually have to confront somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I think I read in that data that women in Nigeria have on average five babies, which is incredible when you think about the Australian average.
And I was going to say what we're seeing, and this country is absolutely tied to what's going on in China, where we are witnessing the largest depopulation probably since the Black Plague. The plague went through Europe in the 14th century. So in 2016, there were 17 million babies born in China. Last year, there were 9 million. Like we are living through something that no one can remember. And the histories of the 14th century tells you that that rapid depopulation that occurred across Western Europe destabilized the entire continent for more than 50 years.
Governments love immigration because it props up GDP, and other pro-growth factions in society, particularly developers, love it too, and also recruiters, you know, the bums on seats kind of theory. But no government wants to see growth decline. And what are the impacts of immigration on the economy? Because they're not all positive. They are increased demands on infrastructure, things like housing that's not there. That's a big issue that people are raising with me on the text line.
Oh, yeah, and you can understand, like, if you bring in, like, we have brought in, what is it, more than 500,000 people in 12 months, that puts strains not just on society but on the economy. The argument that this is being deliberately done to prop up the economy, I think, ignores the fact that much of this is the international students racing back in to complete their degrees, which had been all held up by COVID. So I think the argument that that will slow down and come back to something more normal just because, one, the students won't be able to get into have finished their studies and will start leaving, and two, government policy, that's one part of it. And I think once that stabilizes, people will go, oh, hell, where are all the babies and why am I spending a lot of time going to the cemetery to bury friends? That part of the argument will really come through very quickly.
At the core of these sorts of conversations, there is always the big Australia versus small Australia factions. And, you know, people might say that we should reduce our population slightly so that we are sustainable. Some say, well, you can't be economically sustainable without an increase. We need people to do the jobs that we can't fulfill ourselves. So I'm just curious about what you think. And I won't put you in the trap of asking for a figure because I think that's politicising it. But what is a stable population? What does it look like?
Well, that's exactly right. And people, like you read our text of saying, oh, the carrying capacity of Australia is 20 million. Well, given how much we export in food and fibre, which feeds tens of millions of people overseas, you go, well, hold on, what do you mean and by 20 million? And you get into this whole argument, right, how do you, like, if you stop migration, which some people, like the absolute extreme argument is stop migration, or we'll bring in 150,000 or 160,000, that argument, you go, right, then pull that aside against a falling natural population growth, who are you saying, you get to an argument about whether someone should have a child, you get into some really murky moral arguments, not just about the environmental issue and like the prognostications of a country or a society outliving or having too many people is as old as Methuselah. And like we've lived through, there are people, many of us have lived through the Green Revolution that kept much of the west of the say subcontinent alive, what went on in Brazil, what's gone on in Africa, the Green Revolution of the 50s and 60s. There are still advances going on even today in agricultural production, which I don't think a lot of people quite understand either.
And I think it's good to talk about some of these grey areas because, as I'm sure you get the same sorts of letters from your readers as I do my listeners, who talk about the idea or the accusation that we don't talk about population enough. And I think there's probably some of those reticence. There's a reticence, I think, to talk about it because it kind of gets into the fringe and the binary, whereas we're trying to talk about this holistically, birth rate, death rate and immigration rate. If you just join me, it's 18 past four. Shane Wright is a senior economics correspondent with the Herald and the Age. We are talking about Australia's population and what we should do about the fact that we aren't replacing our population through having kids like we used to. Obviously, the government has turned to migration, but is that also sustainable? Do we need to simply embrace a smaller Australia? 0418 226 576. Lee in Saratoga says, if we hadn't screwed the future of millennials and younger generations, we wouldn't have such low fertility rates. This one too, Melbourne's livability has spiralled since we embarked on an unprecedented population growth policy. Congestion, housing prices, roadworks, pollution, inflation and traffic have not made Australian lives better. This one too, there is no economic or scientific studies that prove or suggest that overpopulation is bad for the environment and resources. That is very dangerous anti-human nonsense, says this one. And I think this is an important text too. The conversation misses the rural and cultural opportunity we have to reimagine how we engage with our country, particularly in rural and regional Australia. I think that's a pretty important inclusion as well. Shane, it's obviously, we've talked about the decline in fertility. We've talked about the decline or the increase in migration. When it comes to aged care, I mean, someone on the text line said, we're all going to die. That's the bald fact of it. And I don't disagree, naturally, but are there mitigating ways we can ensure that people in aged care can get the care they need? Are we able to make that industry sustainable and look after that part of our society?
Well, this is with the upcoming federal budget, we're actually going to see the government outlay more money into improving the aged care system. And the previous government was also in this process because the rapid increase in the number of people who require care and the Aged Care Royal Commission, which showed just how terrible aged care in general had become. And from a humanist to an environmentalist, you actually think like looking after your elderly is a key element of being part of this society, and that argument is taking place. Last time I was in Japan, this whole argument about how to look after an aged population, the Japanese population is extraordinarily old, and they got into the argument or the discussion of, well, we have to bring in Filipino workers who are prepared to carry out that aged care. That is the intersection of natural population and migration growth all in one.
Mm. Do you think, just lastly, that we need to have a really clear think about whether this kind of growth mentality across all of these parts of our society, whether it be economics or the economy or population, is sustainable, full stop?
Look, I think anything that looks at, say, the environment, whatever you think about, from koalas to exposure to emissions from vehicles in a city, is always going to be, it has to be a part of a discussion, because life is terrible if the quality of life is terrible. Mm. But dismissing any suggestion that, right, the population and like a continent this size of Australia is beyond being home to 26 million people, I think is, in a world, if I headed to Lagos or I went to Beijing or I went to Tokyo, they would be laughing in your face about the sort of like that qualification of my quality of life must be much better than yours.
We could keep talking about this for much, much longer, but I'll have to leave it there. Shane Wright is a senior economics correspondent with the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, and I really encourage you to read his article today. I think it's an important conversation starter. Good to talk to you, Shane. Happy Easter.
You too, Andy. Thanks.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.